Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's at 10 minutes after nine, and good to welcome Grace Petrie this morning. We last spoke to her, of course, at the Folk Festival, and she's back in the city at Cambridge Junction a week from now, next Tuesday. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
Good. The Guardian, I notice, describes you as a political folk musician, and I know that it's quite easy to do sort of journalist shorthand, and I'm wondering if how much you like that particular label.
I mean, I think it's definitely one that I deserve, for better or worse. I love folk music, and I certainly think of myself as a folk singer, and undeniably, a lot of the work that I do is a lot of the songs that I write are very influenced by politics, and you know, we certainly are not short of that at the moment.
Yeah, I know it's difficult to know where to start. Really, what are you writing about right now?
Well, I'm writing quite a lot. I just had a record out in the autumn, which I'm kind of still touring quite a lot, but. I've been writing quite a lot about powerful women for my next record, and feminism. I think that's quite important to me. Yeah.
So things like climate change, which has been so much in the news these past few days, particularly with the Extinction Rebellion protests in
Absolutely.
London and around the world.
Yeah, I mean, I've not got anything specifically about climate change yet, but. I just finished writing a song about sort of fake news and misinformation, which I think has played a massive part in, you know, why we've gotten to the point that we're at with the climate change movement sort of being in needing to kind of be a crisis to really get people's attention, I think, yeah.
It's strange, isn't it? Because on the one hand, people say in the past few days, you know, the David Attenborough documentary, which I think was initially on Netflix, but was also shown on the BBC a few nights ago, and people say, yes, people must listen, we must listen, he's a national treasure, he knows so much, we must listen to what he has to say. And then yesterday, and I've probably been guilty of this myself, when we hear reports, oh, it's been the warmest Easter since records began, isn't that a good thing? And it's kind of if people forget, yes, it was very nice weather over the weekend, but look what's happening as a consequence of all that very nice weather.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm completely guilty of it as well, to be honest. I mean, I spent yesterday having a barbecue in the sunshine.
Mm. Do you think it's important for people like yourselves, as you know, contemporary folk musicians, to, if you like, to write about what's happening right now? You know, because you do sometimes you go to a folk club, you hear a song, and you think it's been written about something 200 years ago, and actually it turns out it was about an event that happened six months previously, and yet it still sounds old fashioned. Whereas the kind of songs that you write about, we're going to hear in a short while's time, "Farewell to Welfare," are very much about the problems that we're facing today.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the tradition of folk music has always been very radical and, you know, continues to be. I think it's a really important thing for folk music to comment on the life and times that it exists in and is written in. I think that still singing the traditional songs and the old songs is brilliant and magnificent. I think that there's a real place for that and some fantastic traditional musicians we've got in Britain, but I think that... absolutely, you know, we can't just have folk audiences and folk clubs sitting around singing about the Peasants' Revolt when there's, you know, food banks being used in their town. I think we all have a responsibility, I think, to kind of write songs that really capture the political mood of the moment as well.
Mm. The subjects that you write about yourself, you mentioned, you know, the role of women today. And, you know, we mentioned welfare too. Has that changed over the, I don't know, sort of 10 years or so that you've been around?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen an enormous amount of political change in the last 10 years. I mean, I certainly never would have predicted that Donald Trump would have become the President of the United States, you know. And the kind of sort of fairly reactionary policies that he's pursuing, and obviously, you know, we're seeing the results 9 years on of austerity in Britain, and you know, things are worse for a lot of people than they've they've been in many, many years. So, I definitely say that I've got more of a focus on anti-austerity and on, really kind of urging people to value their public services, to value their NHS, and to, make sure that they're conscious that it's under threat and they're fighting to keep it.
Mm. Now, I'm intrigued that you still need to use crowdfunding to release an album. Was this something you made out of choice or out of necessity?
Well, I sort of both, actually, in the end. I mean, I've never had a record label or a deal of any kind like that. And I think a lot of people have sort of presumed with me that is because, you know, I write political songs and that I made a decision to kind of go it alone and do it the punk route. And that isn't actually true. I've just never been offered any kind of record label support.
Really not. I'm surprised because you do have the profile through the folk festival, through the appearances on Now Show and other places. Yet nobody's picked up the phone and said, Grace, we've got this label or side label or whatever, and we'd like you to be a part of it.
No, I mean, that's never happened, and it's interesting because it is definitely something that I really, a couple of years ago, I desperately wanted to happen. But actually, having had such a successful crowdfunding campaign for the last album, I mean, I think I asked for £10,000 and I got over £18,000 in the end, which was just an enormous show of support. And I think that, the great thing about living in the internet age for an artist like me is that I can really kind of do what I want without any creative sort of limitations from a record label or anybody else telling me that I need to write in a certain way to be more kind of commercial or marketable. Because, I have the opportunity and I have the facilities just to publish it directly myself, directly to the audience. And the audience, in turn, they have things like Kickstarter and buying merch and Bandcamp and stuff to really sort of directly support an artist. And I think that relationship between artist and audience has never been, in a way, it's sort of never been so pure and it's never been so direct in that way. That really kind of enables me to sort of do what I do, regardless of whether or not I have a label. So I think now, next time, I think I'll probably do it exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm. And the tour question. Cambridge this time next week, next Tuesday evening, at the Junction. Do you get to choose where you visit on tours? Do you use fan reaction for that as well?
Yeah, to a point. I mean, I definitely always try and do a good spread of the UK so that I'm generally always doing somewhere that somebody can reach by public transport. I've got my kind of favourite places that I love to come back to. I really, really love playing at Cambridge. I love the Junction. And I'm really amazed, actually, at how many tickets that sold. When it was first booked in, I thought, gosh, that is a big, big room for me to try and play. But to my surprise and to my delight, Cambridge has really kind of come out for me. So I think there are some tickets left, but it's going to be nice and full in there.
Yeah, no, it's a good venue. Looking forward to seeing you in the city next Tuesday. The tickets are, do the official bit now, £13.50 in advance. J2 at the Cambridge Junction for Grace Petrie next week. Grace, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
And we'll hear from Grace now. Musically, this is Farewell to Welfare.
It's section 28, and it's never too wild to slash benefits for single mums. The only victim is the child, and oh, who's gonna be